listening to Gossip Int, a podcast where we teach listeners to gossip intelligently. Why do some people think Justin Trudeau is Fidel Castro's son, or that Beyonce faked her first pregnancy? How can we figure out if Bigfoot is real? Gossip Int is a new podcast that helps listeners learn critical thinking concepts by applying them to well-known pop culture events and real-world technology-focused examples.
Here with us today are Karen Frost, Diana DeVale, and Laura Luthi. Karen Frost is a senior threat intelligence analyst at RiskIQ, a Microsoft company. Previously, she spent 11 years working in the federal government in a variety of analytic positions. For the last 6 years, she has been a freelance pop culture journalist, focusing specifically on film and television. Diana DeVale is also a senior threat intelligence analyst at RiskIQ, part of Microsoft. She spent 10 years as an analyst in the federal government. Laura Luthi is a senior researcher at Xbox and has extensive experience in the gaming and interactive entertainment industry. She is obsessed with consumer psychology and behavioral economics. Before her move to Microsoft, she worked as an analyst in the federal government for a little over 5 years. And I'm Caitlin Hopkins. I'm a threat intelligence analyst at RiskIQ Microsoft. I hold a master's degree in applied intelligence and have spent 4 years in analytic positions working for the government and private sector. Although all four of our participants today work for Microsoft, the views expressed on this podcast belong to us alone and do not represent the views of Microsoft. So first question, why are we making a podcast about gossip? Isn't that kind of an unusual topic for a bunch of Microsoft employees?
Well, it's not just about gossip. It's about critical thinking too. So right off the bat, it's gossip, it's critical thinking, it's tech news, it's all of these things that come together and should be a pretty interesting conversation for listeners. But in regards to the idea of gossip, I think we need to take a closer look at what gossip is. At least in the American vernacular, we can't speak to what it is in the British or Nigerian or anyone else's vernacular. The word gossip carries with it a really seedy connotation. It's dirty, it's clandestine, it's salacious. This connotation, it repels some people, but it attracts others. I think it probably attracts more people than it deters. Because it has this idea of illicitness and speculation, it's not just a spectator sport, it's a participatory sport. But if we just view gossip that way, that's a very narrow view. And so one of the goals of this podcast is to change how we view the idea of gossip. So to me, and hopefully by the end of this podcast, to our listeners too, gossip is just another form of information. It doesn't have to be good or bad. It's how we acquire that information and what we do with it that can make it negative. So we're not saying that gossip is all good, and we're not even necessarily saying it's all neutral, but rather that it's not all bad. So I said this podcast isn't just about gossip. It's about critical thinking too. Gossip is a good lens through which to view critical thinking tools because it's a cultural lingua franca. So we might not be up to date about the current state of artificial intelligence or data science, for example, but many of us are familiar with major cultural touchstones. So these could be things like once upon a time, the Janet Jackson Super Bowl controversy, it could be the death of Princess Diana, even the Kardashians. These are things that whether you want to avoid them or not, you can't. They're part of our cultural fabric. And when we discuss them, often it's gossiping, right? It's this conversation about what's going on behind the scene. So in that sense, it's easier for us to explain critical thinking concepts using these subjects than it would be if we pulled from dry academic examples because of the public's familiarity with them. And in many cases, an emotional reaction to them that makes it memorable. So along with that, as a final point, not only can we develop an emotional connection to pop cultural issues, as I said, it tends to be memorable. So for example, some listeners will be more likely to remember a conversation about whether the singer Taylor Swift and supermodel Karlie Kloss once dated, and the tools we can use to try and find an answer to that question, totally speculative, we don't know, than a conversation about Russian President Putin's motives for invading Ukraine. Now, in this case, the issue with lower stakes is it's more relatable than the one with higher stakes, but there are caveats. If you've never heard of Taylor Swift, certainly if you've never heard of Karlie Kloss, you're not maybe going to be as up to date. You might be confused by the conversation. You might care a lot less than you would care about President Putin and Ukraine. And of course, on the other side of that, there are going to be people that, regardless of their feelings about Taylor Swift and Karlie Kloss, are going to care a lot more about Ukraine. It's that emotional investment. It's investment that people have in general. But interest in the two, of course, is also not mutually exclusive. You can be super interested in something like artificial intelligence or the war in Ukraine, and you can also care about Taylor Swift and Karlie Kloss.
Okay, so what I'm understanding is that gossip doesn't necessarily have to be bad or malicious. Check. If we're going to talk about gossip and critical thinking and tech news, what do we want people to learn from this podcast?
Thinking critically isn't just something that we do in academic settings. Yes, that's where the origin is. That's where it's most commonly taught. But it's something that we can do every day, standing at the grocery store, in line, waiting to check out, seeing the magazines by the register. They're there every time. There's five different ones. They have these outlandish stories that are designed to catch our eye. And if we can learn to look at the world more critically, we can be better citizens. We can be better thinkers. We can be better people in general. So the idea of Gossip Inn is to help us understand how we think, how to think better, and at the same time, do it in a way that's fun. If by the end of this podcast, you care more about what's on those magazines, not because of what's in them, but because of the skills you can apply to think about them, then we've achieved our goal.
And echoing that, I'd like to think about critical thinking as synonymous with problem solving. So for me, I want people to develop their critical thinking skills. That way, we can apply it anywhere and everywhere. This helps us think deeper and in new ways about situations we face at work or in daily life.
I couldn't agree more with Diana and Karen. I feel like critical thinking gives us a way to make sense of complex problems and this complex world we live in. It provides an alternative to leaning into biases to find the easiest answer, or even succumbing to the admittedly intoxicating binary thinking, which seems to be ubiquitous these days. Is something good or bad? Should I do it or shouldn't I do it? What's a truth? What's an untruth?
Okay, that makes sense. It seems that critical thinking skills don't just help people to understand and make decisions in the world around them, but they also enable people to be self-reflective and understand how and why they make decisions, allowing them to be increasingly self-aware. Karen, you gave sort of a description of gossip a few minutes ago that suggested maybe it's more than just gossip. So what is it?
What I want listeners to think about is the idea of gossip as unverified information pertaining to individuals and pop culture events. At its heart, gossip is just information. It's just data. And of course, that information can be incomplete, incorrect, or even fabricated. And throughout this podcast, we're going to see examples of all of that, because the people that are involved in the gossip industry, the people that are the fodder for that gossip, they have their own motivations and their own biases. They're out there trying to spread misinformation or trying to make people believe a certain thing, right? This is the same thing that politicians are doing. It's the same way that countries hide their foreign policy or their intentions. So the way that most information we might encounter in the world, it's the same things that our coworkers might do on a microcosmic scale. And that's the point. Once we start seeing gossip as a sort of raw data, we can start to look at ways to analyze it. But I do want to emphasize before we get too far in the podcast that we have to be careful when discussing gossip to avoid slander. These are real people that we're talking about. So on this podcast, we can discuss pieces of gossip that exist on the internet, things that people have reported, again, that could be true or not true. And we can use this reporting to explain critical thinking concepts. But none of us on this podcast know the individuals being discussed. I've never been to LA. I don't know any celebrities. I can't say with any sort of certainty anything. And if it sounds like that's what I'm saying, then it's a mischaracterization on my part, because I don't. None of us here have inside information. So having put that out there, we want to be sensitive to the fact that gossip can, in some cases, be intrusive and destructive to the individuals to which it pertains. And then caveat our discussion to say that what we're discussing is gossip, again, reported by people that could be fabricating for their own purposes. We're not claiming it's the truth because we don't know the truth. We don't know any more than our listeners probably do. And in fact, our listeners might have insider information that we don't. That aside, a final point about gossip. While I'm going to look at what we think of as celebrity gossip, gossip is all around us. We discuss the private lives of coworkers. We trade inside information about bosses. This is all gossip too, right? Again, gossip doesn't just relate to A-listers. It relates to everything in our lives. Gossip is this constant and unavoidable part of our lives. And I think some of that stems from our curiosity about the things that happen around us. This natural curiosity that we have as humans will be helpful throughout this podcast as we delve more deeply into topics that might be new to listeners. Three of us came from a company called RiskIQ, which was then acquired by Microsoft. And one of the RiskIQ mottos is passionate curiosity. And that's something we want our listeners to share with us on this podcast. We want to be passionate in our curiosity. So listen, learn, and let's gossip a little.
I love the way that you're framing gossip, Karen, and I like the way you're framing it up as a place where we can explore critical thinking, because I think sometimes when people think gossip or they talk gossip, they think of it as this negative connotation, as what you were saying earlier. So it could be a form of back channeling in the absence of having the whole story. But that's kind of the point of why we critically think, right? And maybe they don't have the full information about a subject, which we usually don't. And, you know, I read about this in Brené Brown's Daring to Lead book recently, and it really resonated with me. But when we don't have direct access to the people we gossip about, like celebrities, for example, obviously, or even if we don't feel comfortable having a direct conversation with a colleague or a friend, we use gossip to fill in those gaps, like to make up that story. And that's precisely why we need critical thinking, in my opinion. And it becomes this kind of game where, you know, we kind of come up with the truth with others when really it's just, you know, it's a guessing game and a story. So because of this kind of guessing aspect, as you said, gossip can be very toxic. So in this podcast, I just want to remind everyone of what you said earlier, which is, you know, we're using this as kind of a framework for learning and practicing critical thinking. And we're focusing on low stakes topics on purpose so that hopefully, you know, we're having fun and we're not really demeaning or damaging or teaching you how to gossip better about anything.
Okay, great. That makes sense. But this podcast isn't just about gossip. It's about critical thinking too. So what is critical thinking?
Critical thinking can be defined as the objective analysis and evaluation of an issue in order to form a judgment. That sounds like a suspiciously longer way just to say thinking critically, right? Which would just be tautological. But anyway, you might at first glance think that critical thinking is just forcing yourself to do more in-depth analysis on a topic. But it's more than that. In this case, the word objective in that definition is really key here. Although, if we're honest, no one can ever be completely objective, but seeking objectivity is an important first step in critical thinking. To stand back from our perceptions, beliefs, and opinions, and to reflect on them with scrutiny, which might just mean that what we're trying to do is step back from our usual immediate reactions to things and be as open to different interpretations as possible. That sounds hard, right? I mean, aren't we always talking about implicit bias and all that? So to get around all our mindsets and biases that color our judgments, we use structured analytic techniques.
Okay. I guess you got me. What are structured analytic techniques?
Structured analytic techniques are simply a set of tools that academics have come up with over the years to help us become aware of and to mitigate the adverse impact of our cognitive limitations and our pitfalls as we're trying to solve problems. I know that's a lot to take in, but what I'm trying to say is that we all have certain mindsets or frames through which we view the world. For example, we talk about someone wearing rose-colored glasses. It's the same thing. We use these mindsets for things like unconscious decision-making or snap judgments. Now, there's so much information in our world that we need these mindsets in order to function, or else we would just be overwhelmed by it all. But we have to keep in mind that these mindsets can create bad side effects. They can give us blind spots or really terrible prejudices, which we might not even realize. For example, as humans, once we make up our mind, we tend to be really resistant to changing our minds. We unconsciously ignore conflicting information in order to fit the mental model we've already created. But a structured approach, it forces us to look at information and consider possibilities we might otherwise dismiss because it didn't fit our original mindset. These structured analytic techniques can fall into three general categories. We have diagnostic, challenge, and imagination. These three help us think through all aspects of a problem. First, they clarify the issue we're trying to solve, or challenge will help us to reevaluate our preset notions, and imagination just encourages us to think outside the box in structured ways.
But this is a Microsoft podcast, so we're obviously going to talk about tech news and developments. Why would we need to apply critical thinking skills to these topics?
That's a great question. I think, or maybe I hope, it's obvious to those listening who operate in the tech space. Technology and the business of innovation, it's a rapidly evolving industry with sometimes a maddening number of unknowns. We live and thrive in uncertainty and ambiguity, and we need tools like critical thinking and structured analytic techniques to make reliable assessments. We can use analytic tools to answer questions like, okay, Elon Musk is buying Twitter, so how does that impact our business?
You know, the Musk example is so perfect because that's yet another intersection of gossip, tech, and critical thinking. On the one hand, you have people speculating that Musk's purchase is the equivalent of a billionaire buying a baseball team. He likes Twitter, he likes posting on Twitter, so he wants to own it. It's better than the Mets. For people like myself, we're guessing that he envisions a better revenue model for the platform. I mean, the man's a businessman. He's an entrepreneur, right? So if he's buying it, maybe he thinks he can move it towards a subscription revenue model rather than, for example, a free service like Facebook or Instagram where revenue comes from ads. Since no one knows the real answer yet, we're all just gossiping right now. Time will bear out which hypothesis is correct, if either. And they're not mutually exclusive, of course, but interesting idea that we can have these things coming together. And just a plug for the gossip side of things, Musk is one of the very few billionaires who regularly appears in gossip reporting. And by that, I mean, there's a whole portion of the internet that is dedicated to this idea of reporting kind of stuff from below the surface. We don't tend to hear about billionaires because they don't tend to operate in the circles where gossip reporters are. They're on yachts somewhere. They're not normally in Hollywood. But while most billionaires stay away from pop culture, Musk seems to lean into it. He develops relationships with young female celebrities. For anyone who's currently watching the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial, Musk's name came up. He was involved with Amber Heard. So in addition to his personal life being put on display nationally and internationally, he also tends to inject himself into hot topics like cryptocurrency. And of course, he was part of the billionaire space race, if you will. So sometimes there's a tangible overlap between pop culture and tech. And then something else that comes to mind is this idea of Elizabeth Holmes and the recent documentaries about her, right? This idea of tech now moving into the pop culture sphere and becoming its own source of entertainment. And actually, another area where we would want to use critical thinking, just to bring more tech examples into this episode of the podcast, is when talking about or looking into cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency, blockchain, that's an area where legitimate transformative technology meets criminal activity, misinformation, and misunderstanding. For example, there's a strong narrative on social media claiming that all cryptocurrency is a scam, when in fact, blockchain technology is already on the International Space Station. It's used for intellectual property rights. So while we should absolutely have a jaundiced eye towards some cryptocurrencies, I mean, there are multiple scams, billion-dollar scams, but we can't and shouldn't dismiss all cryptocurrencies just because of those scams.
Makes sense. Sometimes it's really hard to see how pop culture and tech and gossip even can all intersect. But I have to ask, this is a gossip podcast. So what are your favorite pieces of gossip and why do they matter?
That question is too hard. I have so many favorite pieces of gossip. I love all of it. I can't choose. So instead, I'll just talk about a critical thinking issue that I myself find very interesting. And it's got to do with the crystal skulls. For decades, people around the world have been fascinated by the so-called mystery of the crystal skulls. It's the same crystal skull that appears in that last Indiana Jones movie. Those kind of skulls, they pop up in movies and in books all the time. They're portrayed as these mysterious occult vessels, and they have backstories like they were found in the ruin of a Mayan pyramid. Maybe they have a curse associated with them. It's very sexy. It's the stuff that Hollywood loves. And it makes sense why Hollywood would use it. But the problem is, it's all a lie. We actually know quite a lot about these skulls. They were manufactured in workshops in Germany in the late 19th century. So this mythos that has grown up around them is very much a fabrication. And it's intentional, and it has been intentional for a solid century. It's been perpetuated by people that want others to believe that there's something esoteric about them. These are people who are selling tickets to movies or books or to lectures. The issue of the crystal skulls speaks to a problem that we have with information. That the crystal skulls were carved using modern jeweler's equipment and not chisels from, in essence, pre-Columbian times, has been known definitively for over 50 years. Yet TV episodes and documentary programs are still, even today, being made that conceal this fact from viewers. They want to hype these rumored mystical origins of the skulls to get people to watch. All it takes is a quick Google search to expose the truth. So what's going on here? Why are people still buying into it? Why are people still watching? Why don't they rise up and say they're being bamboozled? Call it the I want to believe syndrome. Whether we realize it or not, we as humans would prefer to believe the skulls are pre-Columbian Mesoamerican artifacts that channel spirits than German creations made of imported Brazilian quartz. There's just that sexiness to it we can't resist. And as a result, we let this bias color not only how we consume information about the skulls, but it also deters us from doing our own investigation. As we go further into this podcast, we'll see many examples of how these biases that we don't even realize we have prevent us from seeing the world as it is. We often buy into a myth rather than pushing to find the truth. So each episode, we're going to try and challenge some of those biases and learn ways to get around them.
Okay, so don't judge me, but I don't actually know any gossip. Like from Karen's earlier example, I've heard of Taylor Swift, but like Carly Claus, who's that? So no doubt I'll be learning gossip as we go along through this podcast. But my example is going to have to do with critical thinking too, because for me, something I love is noticing how easy it is for biases and assumptions to overwhelm facts when it comes to reporting on social issues, things like economics or education. So a recent soapbox for me has been this issue of teaching phonics. It's a so-called reading war. It's been going on for decades, and the controversy has to do with whether early instruction should focus on children learning to sound out words, which is phonics, or to focus on the meaning of written words. So for people who don't have kids or their kids are past the reading stage, it probably sounds very niche and pedantic, but I think it actually has huge social consequences. And to me, I think it plays into issues of systemic racism, et cetera. And it's very much a critical thinking issue because the information around the subject and all of the studies that have been done about, they've just gotten divorced from the facts and people rely on hearsay. And it's something involving kids. So people get emotional about it. They succumb to this whole array of biases and assumptions. And thus the reading war continues with no end in sight.
So I am a pop culture enthusiast, full disclosure. But I would caveat that as I'm more of a nerd culture enthusiast. So I fully admit to clicking on Elon Musk clickbait. And I might also follow news about the teen who tracks his private jet online. But I want to come back to something that I said earlier about binary thinking. And I think this has a lot to do with, you know, what's going on in the world and how people are processing information and why this podcast and this subject is so important in terms of learning how to critical think or relearning how to critical think and applying it to something fun. So when you face something else, it's easier to apply. So there's this phenomenon that I see anyway every day online of people putting something out there that's completely fraught with biases and non-fact, but, you know, nevertheless is so tantalizing to the audience. And that includes me, because it answers this complex problem so easily. It's a yes, no, or it's an all or nothing. It's just so intoxicating to be able to just come up with a solution that way. And so I think it is a slippery slope if you continue to do this. And then, you know, it discourages, intentionally or not, critical thinking. So, you know, studies have shown time and again that if you put the same idea out there enough times, and I mean, there's a lot of out there's for us these days. So YouTube, social media platforms, private forums, it starts to gain credibility in the mind of those audiences. And as we talk about fake news or the problem of misinformation or disinformation, this seems to be a growing issue. In particular, I want to call attention to how the absence of critical thinking in the face of this misinformation can lead to cementing an individual's beliefs even further. So like you're doubling down on the non-critical thinking, especially if you feel like you're part of this exclusive community who thinks a certain way and really gets the truth. Because I've seen these stories so many times, this is the truth for me. So examples of this, we could come up with 1,000 these days, but I think for me, it's like belief in things like the deep state, QAnon, a flat earth, but it even applies to lighter stuff like fake conspiracy theory that Mark Zuckerberg is a robot, you know, and when it comes to information in any area, we have to remember to keep a critical mind, even when it comes to some of the sexiest, juiciest, most persuasive stories. Like gossip.
You know, that actually makes me think of another critical thinking issue that may not be gossip or sexy. Sometimes an idea or a piece of information can be so seemingly logical that we just accept it as truth and don't further investigate or check out our assumptions or biases. One of my favorite examples of this is that it's commonly believed or held that SOS is an acronym for Save Our Ship or Save Our Souls, but in fact, the letters SOS were selected as a distress signal when using Morse code because they're a simple sequence of 3 dots, 3 dashes, and 3 dots that are easily remembered and easily distinguishable among other radio noise. They weren't actually created with any linguistic meaning at all. This makes Save Our Ship more of a backronym or an expression that's formed from the letters of an already existing word or name. And while this might seem pretty inconsequential, it reminds us that even the things that just seem to make so much sense may deserve to be questioned.
Yeah, I want to finish with the idea about critical thinking and the various techniques associated with it, such as the structural analytic techniques that Diana spoke about earlier. These are the ways that we can try to reduce some of the uncertainty and the ambiguity that constantly surrounds us. But it's important to remember that sometimes there is no answer. You know, that is to say, we often want there to be an objective, discoverable truth that provides the answer to some pressing question, this absolute truth. But, you know, life isn't like that. And I think if we all sat around for 5 seconds and thought about our lives, that's not how our lives are. And that's not how the world is. And there's not always an answer.
That's a great point. But over the next few podcasts, we'll be discussing diagnostic structured analytic techniques as a way to apply critical thinking to information. These techniques can help us understand what is happening so we can then consider why they're happening. The specific technique that we'll be looking at in the next episode is called chronologies and timelines. So for example, what if your favorite celebrities weren't actually dating at all, but were fake dating? Why would anyone lie about their romantic relationships? And then on the tech side, which foreign country conducted the largest and most sophisticated cyber operation ever identified? Find out next time on Gossip Int.